In today's world, there is such a thing that we all implement that thing, or we carry out that thing. Insurance. Yeah? Who is there, which individual is there that doesn't understand the word insurance or doesn't understand the function of insurance? Insurance. Even if there's nothing, we have the car, don't we? And in many households, many people own a car. An individual owns a car, the family. And obviously here, it's lazim to have insurance. You have the car insurance, you have house insurance, you have life insurance that people take out, policies, people insure their businesses. Allah knows what sorts of insurance there are out there. So when a person insures himself or herself or something that he or she owns, then there are certain elements that are dealt within the insurance policy. The first thing that is assessed is what company or companies will offer insurance. Obviously, I want to insure my car. We'll look at what companies are the good companies for insurance, which is the best company for the insurance, isn't it? And the other factor that is considered by the person seeking insurance is which is the good insurance company, or which agent will deal with me, or which broker will give me good advice and direction. So this is another factor we have to bring in to the equation. And the third element or factor is what's within the policy, what's the finer details, what will he give to me in this, you know, will it protect fire, and you know, or if the house roof, you know, breaks down and the water comes in and leaks, and then I'll have to fork out extra. So people look in their policies. You know, everybody who carries out insurance, you know better than me, you'll know what I'm talking about, isn't it? And then the other thing that a person looks at, the next factor, is that what's the premium, the cost that I'm going to have to pay. It's called premium, isn't it? The insurance premium. So then the person considers, right, I've got these different factors, these four elements, the company name and the broker and the details within the policy, the benefits and the premium, the price, and he considers and analyzes all the factors, and then the company that he likes according to these criteria, then he insures himself or herself. Now, if Allah doesn't allow, but if something, if Allah won't allow this to happen, but if some disaster comes, then you have to think that how much did I speak truthfully when people submit their claims? They know, are they honest or not, etc. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is insurance, the industry of insurance. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also presents an insurance, and the Quran presents this insurance. And it's probably the greatest insurance that we all need. It is the greatest insurance. And we need to pay attention. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given the hukm, the order in the Qur'an. What does Allah Ta'ala state with regards to this insurance? And we are the clients. We are the clients. So Allah Ta'ala says that you do life insurance, you do all the other forms of insurance. Allah says, I have my company. And you can insure yourself against that company. So we should assess this company. Let's have a look. What's the name of this company, insurance company? Allah's insurance. What's the first thing do we look at within the insurance, the criteria, the factors that I mentioned? The name, isn't it? Which company is given providing the insurance? Who is this? There are many names. A person looks and he doesn't have the attraction. So the name of this insurance company is Islam. It's called Islam. SubhanAllah, what is the name of this insurance company? Islam. The Islam insurance company. And it means peace, aman. So whoever comes into this will get that. And what else are, what are the details or the benefits? Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُهُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ. Allah Ta'ala has declared the policy that if you look at insurance and policies and the benefits, so the name of this company is Islam. And the agent, Allah Ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. Where did he come from? Laqad jaa. From the company. He's a direct agent of the insurance company. He's been selected by the insurance company. Isn't it? The Quran, laqad jaa. Allah Ta'ala says, clear. And it's mustanad. is coming from the company of Islam, and the agent is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are the clients, and I'm not telling you a story, I'm reading the Quran, and then I will ask you for the decision that you want to be insured or not. It's your choice. Policy I'll present in front of you, I'll give you the details. I'm not going to waste your time, am I? Why don't we just start dhikr? Otherwise, it's very important if we get the good insurance and we'll get the policy in the masjid. What's better than that? Thinking about it, if we think about it and it just passes us by, we've lost. So, the name of the insurance company is Islam. And لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ, where did it come from, this insurance company? Who's the agent? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the name of the agent is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Malik, the owner of the company, is Rabbina. Allah says, I am the company Malik. I am the owner of the company. Subhanallah. The owner of the company is Allah. The name of the company is Islam. And the agent is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all things are clear now. We wanted this, didn't we? The benefits, the details, the policy details. So what is the guarantee of this company that, you know, when we submit a claim, will they be processed and analyzed properly and honestly? Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقَّ. Allah Ta'ala says, that totally, completely, the question does arise that the claim will be rejected. Totally you will get according to the policy benefits. Allahu Akbar. So what a great insurance policy. And what's this policy? Allah Ta'ala says, Nudu. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from before today, 1400 years, stood and declared this policy. Nudu. Wa Nudu, because he was the agent and he called out with regards to this insurance policy. The hadith now, Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, he now is presenting the details. Because you know what we said, when we look and analyze the policies, what are the benefits within the policy? So what is this insurance policy and what are the benefits we'll get if we get insured in this company? And only the agent can tell us, isn't it? So the Quran says, my agent will tell you. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu states that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that Allahu Akbar, that if you have health, then you won't have the ill health. This is the policy, that you will be healthy and energetic and you will not have the illness, and you will be young and you will not get old age, and you will have ni'mah upon ni'mah, gifts upon gifts, and never will you be in poverty or have problems. So these are the three benefits of this policy. Tell me, what is there anything else that a person needs? Everything is insured. His health, his time of death, the difficulties, everything comes into this policy. This is the insurance policy that's been given and the benefits of this policy. What a great company. Do you like the details? Do you want to be insured with this company? Aha. So this is the point. Nudu, anudu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophet called out that come, udkhulul jannah. Enter into paradise. And he said, this is such a policy that you'll get everything from this policy. You'll get greater than this. And that enter into paradise, you'll get paradise upon paradise upon paradise. And he stated that this policy, the reward of this policy is what? Is what? That you will become the inheritor of this policy. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Is there anything greater than this? What a great policy. You'll become the waris. And if you buy this policy, you pay the premium, you will get Jannah, you will get the inheritance. Inheritance is a big thing, and you get the inheritance is what? That can never be taken from you. It's your right. Yes, one is that you earn something, but the waris, the inheritor, he says, I'm the inheritor, how can you take this from me? This is my haq, this is my right. And this will be solid and permanent and given to that person. So now we realize, alhamdulillah, that what a big insurance policy this, the greatest insurance policy, Islam. And what things we will attain, and that a person has no doubt, because these points that we will benefit from, Allah Ta'ala is in charge, and Allah Ta'ala gives the guarantee now. And there's one thing left now, the premium. What shall we pay Allah to acquire this policy? Allah, what shall we do? We want to buy this, we're hungry, where we don't have anything to wear. What is the wealth? What is the money? We're poor, we don't have any wealth. And what do we have to pay? Because whenever you assess out an insurance premium, someone's asked for 400 or 500, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, you'll have to pay the premium for this policy. And what is that? بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Allah Ta'ala says that the premium for this policy is good deeds. Present good deeds. That is it. This is the premium, the cost of this policy. That Allah Ta'ala says, whoever implements good deeds, he will be paying the premium towards this policy. And when he gets insured, and the payment keeps coming, won't stop, the installments keep coming, the deeds are being implemented. Because if you stop the payment, isn't it, then the policy is cancelled. So the condition here, Allah Ta'ala says, keep on sending your deeds, practicing your deeds, and you'll have the mound of deeds and the stacks of deeds. And alhamdulillah, when you become insured, then with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, then Allah promises that, alhamdulillah, the promise I've made, I will give it to you. وَنُودُ And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he called out, and this policy was presented, then alhamdulillah, the Quran gives examples that those people who got themselves insured at that time, now see, who were those people, what name they attained, what title they were given, and what, so among those who rejected and who were scared and said, no, it's too difficult, we can't do this, and what was their hal, what was their consequence, Allahu Akbar, and they paid their premium, mashallah, it wasn't this that they didn't pay, it wasn't this, such a premium they paid, that the dunya, subhanallah, and they have stayed until now, their name, and the people in the world have seen Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who purchased that premium, that policy, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu. And what was the premium they paid? The cost, they're lying down on the fire, they're lying down on the coal, on the hot stones, on the heat, they have to leave their homes, they were expelled from their homes, the arrows were fired into them, they had the wounds, their hands were being cut, and they were being tortured, and there were the marks of the swords on their body, and the wounds because they were tortured, but they kept on paying the premium. They kept on sending the premium, kept on implementing the deeds. They accepted all of the hardships in their policy. And for us, it's easy. Tell me. For us, it's not difficult to buy this policy and pay the premium. If we just do this, pray 5 times salah in the masjid, yeah, and we'll get insured. So 5 times salah in the masjid, that would be the premium, isn't it? The company's policy, if we pay the premium according to the demand of the company, if the company says, okay, you want to buy this insurance policy, all right, you're insured now, now you have to pay these installments and deposit the funds into this bank on a regular basis, okay? And you say, okay, that's fine, and you start to go to another bank which is closer to you, and you keep on depositing in that bank. So the notice will come to you that your name has been cancelled from the policy because you didn't pay. He said, no, I kept on paying. Which bank? This bank. But we said to you in this policy, the details and the finer details, we told you to deposit into this bank. What link do we have with this other bank, isn't it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the amal I've prescribed to you, that's the premium. That's what you have to pay. If Allah ta'ala says, come to the masjid to pray in jama'ah, in congregation, I say, no, I'll pray at home. I've prayed, you know. So have you paid the premium? No. So the policy will be cancelled. Allahu Akbar, will be cancelled. Yeah? That's the example here. Then what will we do then? We'll get nothing. So the condition is here, is that if you want to purchase this insurance policy, then forget the examples I gave to you, what's in front of us. Forget that for a moment. That this policy, to buy this premium, that however the conditions that are laid down to pay the premium, Allahu Akbar, there's no example that can compare. We have to fulfill those conditions. It's not difficult for us. It's easy, protect your eyesight. Look, there are 2 types of amal. We think amal is praying, reciting Quran, going on Umrah and Hajj, doing dhikr. And we think these are amal and deeds. But there is an amal bigger than this, greater than this. We don't consider that. Don't lie. Don't commit fraud. Don't oppress anybody. Don't break the rights of your relatives and give tarbiyah to your children and fulfill the rights of the neighbors. And if somebody swears at you, then respond to him in a nice way. Show your good akhlaq and behavior, good conduct, and sacrifice your own desires and let other people benefit. Is this not the amal? Is this not Islam? Allahu Akbar, we think we're so great, we've come to the masjid and pray salah, we think it's a great amal, but we don't consider these as deeds. But this is the reality, that this amal is greater than that, in accordance, in comparison to the akhirah. That what is the deed greater than salah? Leave lying. Okay, so you, mashallah, have got experience that if to leave one sin, I think it's been 30 years, 25 years, and a person cannot leave the sins. He keeps on trying to save his eyesight, save from lying and backbiting. And look here, he's got dhikr and his salah and tahajjud, and he's reciting Quran and all of the other deeds. He's following the sunnah, but he's not leaving backbiting. He's not leaving ghibat. Look at this. He can't leave the act of lying. He can't refrain from the sins. We consider lying as a minor thing. You can't even leave the lying. You have the experience, and mashallah, I have the experience as well. We keep meeting each other. We know this, that we keep on saying and we communicate. So we continue in parallel. We pray salah, we'll keep the fasts, and we'll recite Quran and do dhikr. But in parallel, we are fighting and quarreling in our houses, in our families. We take the rights of people. We consume the rights of people, somebody's mal and wealth, and somebody, we harbor hatred for them in our hearts. Imagine, and to leave this hatred is so difficult for us. And it's better than 1,000 tahajjud. Better than 1,000 tahajjud is to leave the hatred for a person. That if, for example, in our hearts we have bughz and hatred for someone in our heart, we cannot be insan. That the person, he forget about being a wali, he cannot be an insane human being. And this is not the quality of a Muslim, that he passes one night that in his heart he has hatred or ill feelings for somebody. We should have clean hearts, purity, do istighfar and do dua. And those people who we doubt, that, oh, that person doesn't like me, or there's a problem with this person, then the cure for this is before sleeping, that do one tasbih istighfar and say, Allah, that istighfar, the reward for this istighfar, that person who's displeased with me, or I've oppressed him, or I've done something bad to him, or I said something bad from my mouth against him, Allah, forgive this person and give him the rules of this istighfar and go to sleep in a clean way, because sleeping is maut, is death. And if Allah Ta'ala allows with His fadl for us to wake up, then fine. Otherwise, our life is gone. So we need to fulfill the balance sheet before we sleep. That Allah Ta'ala says, this is my salah, and haqqul ibad is owned by us. So if I delay my salah, or there's a problem in my prayer, Allah Ta'ala, if He's merciful, that's His choice. Allah says, that's my deed. But when we break the rights of mankind, and if in my hearts I have enmity or hatred or problems with other people, or I say bad to somebody with my tongue, or to my friend in my house, or to somebody, I say bad to somebody, then that sin has become attached to my heart and to my life. Allah says, I can't decide on this. You need to decide that yourself against that person, with that person who you oppressed. So to eliminate the sin, and that is also fard. That is also fard. Look, so the Sufis, they try their best. They try their best that they work hard on their akhlaq and praying and worship. This we have to do, and this is not a unique miracle that I've prayed 5 times salah, or I've fasted in Ramadan, or gone on Hajj. We have to do this. This is compulsory, and this is a part of iman. Just like you have to eat in the evening or in the morning. So you think you fired the bullseye because you prayed 5 times salah. If somebody prays 5 times, do we think he's a wali Allah? He's lofty, he prays salah, he goes to masjid, he's pious, and we praise him. No, this is not the case. The reality is, we need to see here, that if, for example, my neighbor is happy with me and he gives a guarantee, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you guarantee that I'm pleased with you. This is the rights of the neighbors. These are the rights of the neighbors. We have to look at this. That a household, and we live in a house with a family, and the wife says that I'm happy with my husband. Well, Allah's Nabi says, I give you the guarantee that you will go to paradise if your wife is happy with you. Subhanallah. Why? Because your akhlaq is good. Your conduct is good. And the same way, a man who says that I bear witness, I testify that I'm happy with my wife, she's a good woman, I'm happy with her, then she will get the guarantee of paradise. That woman, she'll get the guarantee in this world. She hasn't done any extra ibadah. All of her worship is within the four walls, and we have to go on Jummah and Eid Salah, the men folk, and we have so many actions, thousands of things we have to do outside the house. But the woman, she doesn't have to leave the home. She, mashallah, has one duty: stay in your home and please your husband, and you will have a very great status, and your Rabb Allah will be so pleased with you. Yeah, for permissible things, not that the husband oppresses her beyond the hudud of Sharia. This is haram. Whatever is within the hudud of the Sharia, you have to fulfill and give rights. But not that she demands the rights beyond Sharia, and she says, do this and this and this to him. He says, no, I can't do that. That's not within my control. That Allah's given me the rights I have to fulfill for you within Sharia, and those things that Allah's on me. Not that, astaghfirullah, she becomes a slave. No, this is not right. So note this point. Some people say, I'm your husband and you're my wife, and now, like, you're my slave, I can make you do whatever I want, everything the husband can do, and he gives proofs for this, and he says, I can do this. And no, beware, how dare we do this? Do you know the rights of a woman upon us? The wife, immense, many, many. If I tell you one point, then I'll get the loss as well. The wife, it is not her right that she has to make the food for you. It's not necessary. Maybe my wife doesn't isn't listening at this time. That it's not the right of any woman that she has to cook for me and stand in the kitchen and cook for me. It's not. This is not a compulsory duty for her. It's up to her if she wants to. Yes, she can do that. This is the law. Look at how Allah Ta'ala has given her assistance. And in our homes, we fight and quarrel upon this. That why was the food not hot? Why wasn't there salt in the food? Why didn't you cook this today? Why didn't you do this? This is the case, isn't it? Because we have the wrong insurance policy. Yes, if you want to be insured with this deen, then pay the right premium to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, is a big adab and a punishment upon us. And Islam, Allah Ta'ala says that He's not even in our company, He's not even insured with this company, Islam company. He's not. And this whole verse I recited to you, the Quran tells us this. This is not some story, not some folktale. This is a full, complete policy that Allah Ta'ala has declared that I sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he announced this policy. He announced that you keep on sending the deeds to me and I will give you the guarantee of paradise. You will get the path to paradise. So brothers, what are the amal? We're happy we prayed salah and I've done action X, Y, Z according to my desires. No, I can't follow my desires. Whose desire do I have to follow? And I have to follow, I have to pay the premium exactly as laid down. You have to go to this bank and deposit. Allah says, okay, you will have to go on Hajj. Then you have to go Hajj at that time, at that place. That's it. You have to go once in your life. Allah says, you have to go. And 30 fasts you have to keep, not 35. You have to stay as 30. You can't reduce them or increase them. The time that's set aside morning and evening to do a certain action between sun, dawn and sunset, we have to keep the fast at that time. So this is the way we have to pay the premium. Allah says that if you want to say send the premium to me to pay the premium, then it's according to my desires, Allah said. You have to do it in that way. If you don't pay the premium, then the insurance will be cancelled, the policy will be cancelled, and then if you don't follow that, your name will be struck off the list of that insurance company. So we have to look at both things, my brothers. That if we want to be insured properly, alhamdulillah, let's fill in the form today with the fadl of Allah and stay in the masjid and complete the form and say, Allah, we request you, give us insurance. We love your agent. We accept the words of your agent and the message and such a beautiful agent. And your name, the name of your insurance company is so beautiful, Islam, and the owner is so great, Allah, the greatest. Subhanallah. So Allah, your introduction is such that how can anyone refuse your insurance policy? And what else is left? Bima ta'amaloon. Amal. Action. So inshallah, we will try. It's not a case, Allah, we are insan. We've got power and energy and health and there are masjids everywhere. We promise Allah, inshallah, that the hudud, the boundary of Sharia, we will go and pray in the masjid, in your home, Allah, and the rites that are obligatory on us, we will fulfill them, we practice them in the farad amal. We should learn what is the haq upon us, that the position of a person changes. If I'm not married, for example, then my position is something else. And I need to learn the haq, the rights. So what are the rights upon me? And if I'm not married, what are the rights I have to fulfill? For example, if I work somewhere, I have to look at my position, that I'm working here in this company, in this place, or in a madrasa. And what are the rights that are upon me? This is not a kitab, that the insurance, for example, what is the haq? For example, I'm in the masjid, and I see that in the masjid, what are the rights that are incumbent upon me? And I have to fulfill that right. Wherever I am a friend with somebody, I will have to fulfill the rights of that friendship, that this person is my friend. So what are the rights of this friend upon me and what are my rights upon him? If I'm bay'ah with a sheikh and I'm a student, then there are rights of the teacher upon me and there are rights of mine upon the teacher. So we both have rights. Probably on the day of judgment, these haqooq will be asked. And every moment our position changes. And as soon as I get married, then my life will change. And now the wife, she has some rights I have to fulfill. And I have some rights that my wife has to fulfill. And if I start to hear that after a year or two or some years, the child is crying, then the child has some rights that I have to fulfill. And we have both have rights. And then how do I do tarbiyat of my child? And as the stages and the phases of life move, for example, I go to a company, we learn that the rules and the criteria of this company are this. And what is the haq? I'm working for this company. Whatever rights are, whatever they tell me, the terms and conditions that are signed and the contract signed. If I work somewhere, I'm driving a taxi, the rights are something else. If I'm driving a taxi, the haq will be explained, what is the right of the passenger. If I'm doing business, there will be haqooq, the rights. And we continue and down a blind alley, we think that we can do what we want, like a wild untamed horse, and we can do what we want. No, this is not the case. This is not the definition of Islam. Don't think Islam is so easy. This is not the definition of Islam. We will get nothing from this. No, I do dhikr 100,000 a day and I'm happy and I'm pious and I've passed the test. We think that we will be successful due to this and the rest of the rights? Allahu Akbar. So for me, for example, even if I go to the meat shop and I go to buy some vegetables or meat, even that time there are rights of that person, the meat shop owner, on me, and there are rights of mine on him. What's the biggest right? That when I go to a shop and I enter, the first right is what? That I have to fulfill. What does Islam say? Tell me. Tell me, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Isn't this the case? This is the rights, isn't it? So you fulfill the rights. And as soon as you fulfill the rights, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah will descend upon you. And if you give people the bad stock and the bad items, then you will not benefit. And if you go to a shop nicely with akhlaq, and then you say salam in a nice way, then the shop owner will affect him. And straight away he'll say, wa alaykum as-salam, Hazrat Sheikh Saab, brother, how are you? How is everything? And if you are nice with him, he'll be nice to you. And if he's nice to you, he'll be nice to him. And you say, oh, cut this vegetable. Oh, give me this meat. Oh, I'll be back in a minute. Is this Islam? Does Islam teach us this? If you present yourself nicely, he will give you the good service and the nice stock and the products. If you go in the car, oh, and you stop and skid outside. Oh, make this meat for me quickly. I'm in a rush. I've got to go somewhere. I don't have time. Take the phone out. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, the meat's being cut. Quickly, quickly, meat chop. Man, what are you doing? Is this akhlaq? This is not Islam. Look, when we look at ourselves, we think we are pious. Oh, okay, I'm going on Hajj. Okay, book the seat. My seat's been booked. I'm going on Umrah now. And what kind of Umrah is this? What Hajj is this? You don't even fulfill one right. And what will you do to Umrah? So what sort of deen is this? And I don't understand that we think this is deen. This is not that deen that Allah Ta'ala has defined. لَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُولُ رَبِّنَا. That my Nabi, he came the agent with the policy, and you're not fulfilling the right of this policy. Am I right or am I wrong, my brothers? So today, ensure yourselves. Let's ensure ourselves. And we have to see this point first, that everything that is ours, we are responsible for something or somebody. Yeah, we're in this masjid. We haven't just come here without any rights. The rights of the masjid are upon me and you, all of us. How should we sit down? What is the rights of the masjid? How should we enter? Soon as we come, as a Muslim enters a masjid, what are the rights of the masjid? That you are in the house of Allah, and you have to be careful. And see, when you come into the masjid, straight away pray 2 rak'ah tahiyatul masjid to be grateful for the masjid. Allah, we are grateful that you've given us the permission to enter your home. Because this is greater than hundreds of thousands of palaces that Allah Ta'ala put all of the kings and the kingdoms in one place. It cannot be equivalent to a masjid. If an officer calls you a leader, a king, a sultan, we think, oh, that the king has called me, but the king of the kings has called us, Allah, to his home. It's haq upon us. As soon as we come into the masjid, pray 2 rak'ah nafil tahiyatul masjid to fulfill the rights of the masjid. It's the rights of the masjid. Come, and what is the right? The second right of the masjid? Beware. You have detached yourself from the dunya. Don't speak about dunya. Oh, take the phone out. Yeah, yeah, this transaction. Put it to your ears. Astaghfirullah. What is the hal of those people who are talking about dunya? Forget the dunya. Put it into silent. Cut the ringtone. You haven't even started praying yet. You shouldn't even think that there's any thought of the dunya in your mind or heart. You shouldn't even be thinking, oh, what do you do? Who do you work for? Okay, I do this as well. Okay, let's come outside. Oh, can you sell 2 of these for me? And stock. And you're talking about business. You're sitting in the masjid. No. Your work okay? Is your job okay? What's your policy? And there you start talking about business in the masjid. This is not deen, my brothers. Islam does not teach us this. Islam policy does not teach us. The haq of Islam is silence in the house of Allah, fear of Allah, dhikr of Allah, maraqaba, dhikr, attention to Allah, focus to Allah, khawfun Allah, mustaqil. Continuous istighfar, recitation of Quran, and your heart is bowed and your mind is bowed. When you leave the masjid, that you know that you've come from somewhere and you've improved. A change. That's how we should be. Yes? So for example, there's intense heat. I give you an example in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Bangladesh, and the air conditioning is running in the building. As soon as you enter, suddenly you get the coolness in the air conditioning. Ah, oh, you take a nice cool breath. Ah, relax now. So this is the house of Allah. That when we come away from the dunya to the house of Allah, the masjid, then our ruh, our soul should feel that we've come to a beautiful place. You should feel the coolness. If we don't feel the difference in the masjid, then we feel that the dunya and the masjid, same dunya, phones ringing, business, transactions, meetings, you got the phone in your pocket and you're doing dua. As the call come, as the text come, as the business transaction happening now, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How much life we are wasting, my brothers, tell me. How much life we're wasting. This is adab. Adab, we go to our sheikh. And if you have yaqeen, you make a person your teacher. If you've got yaqeen, whether he's a sheikh or not, Allah knows best and he knows. But if you have yaqeen, you won't have yaqeen with a person strong, really, that he is a true, strong wali of Allah who will give me hidayah and guidance, and he will introduce me to Allah, and Allah's qurnas will come through his teaching and guidance. Whatever guidance according to Sharia he will give, my iman and yaqeen and aqeedah, if you don't have with that person, then how can he be your sheikh? How can he be your teacher if you don't trust him, have conviction in him, rely on him? So if you don't have yaqeen that somebody can deliver you the guidance, then how can he be your shaykh? So you should be the same as a student, just like the Sahaba Karam, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, would go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they immerse themselves in their total trust and conviction and yaqeen in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Sahaba Ikram used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had total 150% aqeedah trust, blind trust, that this is the Nabi of Allah. He will teach us whatever he says from his statements is precious for us, is valuable for us. Whatever he says, we accept. We ain't going to see, oh, we've got problems and difficulties in our life now, we're following the way he has prescribed. No, Rasulullah ﷺ said and they did. Never will you see a hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ said something and they thought, shall we do this? Shall we leave this? No. Shall I do this? And doubts? No. Great example in front of us. There were two companions. One would sit in the majlis and the other would work. One companion, they take turns. On one day one would work, the other would go to the majlis. Then they would swap. Then the one brother, he was walking home from the majlis, and the other was coming back with the wood from the wood on his head. And he said, I heard from Rasulullah today in the majlis that person who has the garment below the ankle, that portion will go into hellfire. And that sahabi, they used to wear lungi, the izhar, and he suddenly threw the firewood down off his head, and he straightway grabbed hold of his cloth that was below the ankle, the garment, and he tore that piece that was below the ankle. He said, brother, what are you doing? At least go home and do this. You can wait. He said, can you give me the guarantee that I will stay alive until I get home? That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement has reached to me and I don't implement it straight away. This is the premium you have to pay. Subhanallah. So the person is burning in the fire, and the fire is burning them, and the fire that Hazrat Bilal radhiyallahu anhu was lying down on the fire being tortured, and he said, now Bilal, do you believe in Allah? He said, I believe in Allah. Ahad. And then they dragged his body, tortured him on the coal, hot coal. He said, Ahad, Allah, Ahad. What is he doing? He was paying the premium. Talha radhiyallahu anhu. So many marks on his body. Was any part left? Hazrat Sa'ad radhiyallahu anhu. So beloved companions. And this was the expedition of Uhud, and couldn't see him for a while. And Rasulullah said, where's Sa'ad? Where's my Sa'ad? And he had figured that find Sa'ad. That subhanAllah, who was Sa'ad? And subhanAllah, may we understand and give all our energy in the learnings to understand. Rasulullah said, Hazrat, we can't find him. Call out, where is he? Sa'ad, Sa'ad. Everyone was calling, Sa'ad, Sa'ad. They were calling out. And then a very faint voice from the corner of the matter came, yo, Bilal, call me, Bilal, Bilal. Everybody ran. The Sahaba said, this looks like Sa'ad, they said. And he was lying down, and he was in the final moments of his life. And they said, Sa'ad, you are lying down here, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking for you. He said, yes, I was also waiting. He said, come on, I'll give you some water to wash your wounds. He said, no, quickly, take me to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quickly, take me to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, why? He said, I have some sabr, wait. He said, no. And my desire is now, that time, when my aim, my objective of life, was that I want to pass my life in the path of Allah. And when I'm passing away from this world, I want to see the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of my eyes. I want to see maut at that time. So don't let me pass away here. Quickly, please take me. However you can, take me. Because I have very few breaths left. And this is my desire of my life. And it will be fulfilled. And here's the ashik. This is the beloved. And Rasulullah is looking out, yearning. The call Sa'ad, call Sa'ad. And this is how we pay the premium. Here, this is the adhan in the masjid. And we're sitting at home snoring. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'll pray at home today. Oh, you give adhan and we'll do jama'ah congregation. Subhanallah. What is this? What is this? Look at the standard that Islam has given to us. That we have to fulfill the rites and the practice. The life of the Sahaba, noble companions, are examples in front of us. This is not a story. That the message that has been delivered to us, the thousands of people there in the world who have the stories and they've disappeared. But the companions, their stories, were they present here with us? But their stories have come to us. Radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba. Because they had to make that example live forever. That don't think Islam is cheap. This insurance premium is very great indeed. Why? Because what's being told to us? That you will go into paradise. The paradise, this Jannah. This Jannah, this will be Jannah, paradise. This will be the reward you'll get. And you will become the inheritor of this paradise if you do the right thing. If you pay the premium. But you won't get it by just being ignorant in the world like we are. And just blindly living our lives without any objectives. So my brothers, me and you, let's think on these points. That we the premium that we have to pay, let's pay it, observe it, transfer it in a nice way, fasting. And prayer is obviously compulsory, but on the other side, don't lie, don't backbite, don't earn haram, don't consume haram, don't oppress anybody, don't break the people's rights, don't assert people's rights. Why am I saying these are greater deeds compared to you? I'll say, why do you keep saying that these deeds are greater and more important, although those other deeds are fard? Because obviously if you pray salah, is it accepted? Is there a guarantee? 70 conditions for salah, are there not? And if you leave lying, straight away that deed will be accepted. Straight away. The reward of leaving, the lying, will be received straight away. If you make a promise, Allah will not lie, straight away Allah will give the reward. Straight, direct amal that will reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the premium you have to pay. Allah ta'ala stated that bima kuntum ta'malun, that you, my creation, carry on practicing and you will become the owners of paradise. So here there's a point that, let me explain in passing, this hadith is not a contrast, not a contradiction. In the hadith it is stated that if a person, nobody will go into paradise due to his deeds. This is not the case. Illa rahmatullah. Except for the rahmah of Allah. Mercy of Allah. And what does the Quran say here? That you will get paradise who? Bima kuntum ta'malun. Due to your deeds you will get Jannah. So there's a contrast. Is this a contradiction? Is there a clash? Do you understand what I'm saying? But this is a great reward. Listen carefully. What a big, big reward Allah Ta'ala is giving on this insurance premium policy. What is the reward? There's the hadith, Sahih hadith, that the scholars know that a person will not go into paradise due to his deeds except for the person who earns Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. What does the Quran say? Bima kuntum ta'malun. That you will be given paradise due to your deeds. So my brothers, my colleagues, this is a big piece of news, good news for us Allah Ta'ala has given. That this is for other people. But those who are insured with me, the right people who are insured in this policy of Islam and have paid the premium, Allah Ta'ala says, bima kuntum ta'malun, that's fine. That everything will be due to my mercy. But that individual who has the amal, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give him the cloak of my rahmah in the world while he's living, and he'll be accepted while he's living, Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. Allah says that I will envelope him and shroud him with my rahmah in the world. Whatever he does, he will be accepted with my rahmah, with the mercy. And he doesn't have to worry about anything. Whatever you do, want to do, keep on doing. Allah says my rahmah will accept you at that time. So yes, Allah's rahmah will save us. Allah says I will not reject any of your deeds in the world if you pay the right premium. Alhamdulillah, Allah says I will enshroud you with my rahmah, my mercy. The way Allah has given us order, hukam, from morning till evening, to wake up, prayer, worship, do this now. This is the hukam, this is the order, and we keep on implementing and fulfilling it. Salah time, we pray salah, Quran, and other hukams, other orders, all the time during the day. Allah Ta'ala orders us to do something, and every moment, every second of the day, there's an order. Even if I'm driving the car, it's not my achievement. It's Allah Ta'ala who's allowing me to drive the car. And the rules and the principles, like you've come here and my car's parked outside and you park behind me and block me in. Is this not dhulam? Is this not oppression? Yes, or if you're standing and a person sitting down talking and he's waiting to move the car. If somebody's ill, he wants to remove his car and you're sitting down in the masjid, you parked in the wrong place. You didn't think that this person, brother, I'm giving him pain. And your salah, where's it gone then, the reward? That after salah, you're reciting Quran, doing dhikr, and you've blocked in the brother and he sends somebody in there for the sake of Allah. There's a man, he's waiting outside, you block him. Oh, wait, take it out from the side. I'm reading Quran, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm reciting Quran and you're pestering me. Astaghfirullah, imagine this. Is this Islam? No, it's not. Haquq, the rights, are there no rights of driving and parking? And all the rights that even for traveling home from here, you can earn paradise if you utilize the car correctly. If there's a person who starts beeping to you incorrectly, is this not oppression? If somebody, you start flashing him wrongly, or you put your windows down, oh, why are you doing this? You swear at somebody, or you speed up to somebody, up to his bumper, and their speed is 30, you drive 40 miles an hour. You're not breaking the law? Are you not? So is that not breaking the rights? There's a haq of everything. We think that Islam is just worship, my brothers. That these deeds are greater deeds than the worship. I've told you this already. And we need to learn this. The Sufi, we go to the walis of Allah to learn akhlaq and rights and behavior manners. We don't go to learn salah. We don't go there to learn tilawat, recitation of Quran or fiqh or jurisprudence. What do we come to learn? Akhlaq and good manners. And that is not a khanka. That cannot be a Sufi who, that person does not teach akhlaq and manners if it doesn't emanate from his teachings and group. So understand the tarbiyah, that the whole color, the form, the appearance of the Sufi when we go to the mashayikh and the walis of Allah, the greatest benefit is that the person becomes a human being full of akhlaq, good conduct, behavior, manners. We have to strive. Whenever, as I say, if you've got the tawfiq to go to a sheikh's gathering, then go with this intention that I pray and I do worship, but I want to learn learn Allah, how to purify my batin, my inner self, my soul, and put your name on the form and say, Allah, I want to leave lying and backbiting and this sin and this spiritual illness and ailment. Allah, I want to become a better human being. And we don't go that, oh, you show me the sheets and look, I do dua for you and do dua for me. You have to try yourself. Assess yourself, your records. Assess yourself. What's the point of showing me the sheets? Assess yourself and improve yourself. That am I benefiting Hazrat's company? I'm in here. I come to the company and I've learned akhlaq and good words. And today was a majlis and I went there and I learned a new point. And today this majlis, every day, or we have, you know, 10 or 12 majlis in the week. Every gathering we should learn something unique. If I'm not one who gives, then I'm the criminal. I always think that my shagird, my student, they're coming. Let me give them something new. A new benefit today, so that the position they have today in front of Allah, I have to elevate them. They have to be elevated. Beyond this, this is what I think before I come. That Allah, let them elevate this. Now, have you noted that Allah Ta'ala accepts all du'as? Whichever majlis you will sit in, a new point will emanate. Does it not emanate? We learn something new every day. This is Allah Ta'ala's fadal and grace and your striving and your du'as. With your fadal, I attain this. And you are, mashallah, the peace, and I'm your servant. And inshallah, you will allow me to be forgiven and I will pick your shoes up with the fadal of Allah, and your rank and status is thousands of times better than me. Mashallah, you, those who love Allah, you prefer Allah. I'm nothing. I'm worthless. I'm just sitting here with a duty. I have no amal, no deeds, nothing. And yesterday I am behind you, and today I'm behind you, and I will pick up your shoes. I have no problem with that. I will serve you. I am just fulfilling the duty, my Shaykh, the hukum, that I speak and discuss with the people, and I'm presenting that in your service. Otherwise, I'm weaker than you. And mashallah, hundreds of thousands of times, you are better than me. Higher than me, I never consider myself to be better. I'm worse. So we all need to try to somehow think of something good, discuss something good, so your rank is elevated and I can be successful. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala says tomorrow that he tried, and he's Dalil, and at least due to the sadqa of the gathering that he goes to, and the students, mashallah, with your barakah, I'll be inshallah fortunate as well. I'm saying this from the depths of my heart. I'm not showing off. I'm not trying to make up something. I'm not showing here some outer cloak. No. Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah, he came here, and due to the sadqa of these students, Allah will accept me. I'm a sinner. There's darkness around me, and old age has come. What will I do? Due to sadqa, I keep on looking at you. I'm hoping you, that you will implement something. I have fikr and worry that who will I stand behind? I'm sitting on this prayer mat. I'm speaking to you directly. I'm not, it's not a drama that I'm acting out or lying. How can this be? So do dua for me, brothers. Do dua for me. Pray for me that this individual, Allah Ta'ala forgive him. And may Allah forgive me. And after every majlis I do dua, Allah, maybe not waste our time. These brothers, they leave their job or their occupation or their wife and their children, and I start giving my stories. Speak such a subject and matter that is beneficial and elevates the people, mashallah. So alhamdulillah, today we had a good discussion with the Fadl of Allah, Quran, the verse of the Quran I've recited to you. This is not the point. So insure yourselves. Let's insure ourselves. And what is the premium we have to pay? Amal, good deeds. Which amal? Which deeds? Salah, worship, and the rights of society. Leave the sins. So you have to do good worship and leave the sins. And the person who follows this path, he is paying the best premium. He's got the best policy. And the hukum of the Quran says that you will become the inheritor of paradise. And there's no other promise. No other promise. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.